the fire, and the hearth. Barry Sadler, the warrior poet who burned his own house down. In 1966, a Green Beret staff sergeant sat down and wrote a song. 4 weeks later, it was the number one record in America. The Ballad of the Green Berets sold 9 million copies, knocked the Beatles off the charts, and became the anthem of a war that would eventually tear the country apart. The man who wrote it was Barry Sadler, combat medic, special forces, a guy who'd taken a punji stick through the knee in Vietnam and still went back to finish his tour. He was also a musician. If that combination surprises you, it shouldn't. We have this lazy idea that warriors and artists occupy different planets, that the type A who kicks doors can't possibly be the same who writes poetry. That emotional depth and tactical lethality are mutually exclusive. History says otherwise. King David was a warrior who killed Goliath, led armies, and wrote the Psalms. Audie Murphy, the most decorated American soldier of World War II, came home and wrote amazing poetry about the nightmares that followed. Jimi Hendrix was a paratrooper in the 101st Airborne before he picked up a guitar and changed music forever. The warrior poet isn't an anomaly. It's an archetype. It's been around as long as men have fought and felt things deeply enough to need to express what they saw. Sadler fit that mold. The same hands that dressed wounds under fire wrote an anthem that moved a nation. Capacity, not contradiction. A Renaissance man. I'll admit, this one hits close to home. I spent years in the University of North Texas jazz program, gigging in clubs until 3 a.m., studying under musicians who made me earn every note. Then I spent 13 years kicking doors, running informants, and eventually living full-time undercover inside a violent Crip organization for 2 years. People look at that resume and don't know where to put me. Musician or cop, artist or operator, a tactically sound creative, as if I must pick a lane. But those worlds aren't as far apart as people think. The discipline required to master an instrument, the hours, the focus, determination, and the ability to read a room and adjust in real time. It's the same discipline that kept me alive hanging out in gang dens. The emotional depth that lets you feel music deeply enough to actually play it with soul is the same depth that helped me build rapport with killers who would have buried me if they'd sensed a fake. So, the capacity to feel and leverage emotion isn't a liability. It's an asset. Well, if you can control it, that's the part Sadler lost. It is common knowledge that special ops generally don't select robots. It selects for adaptable, emotionally intelligent, creative problem solvers. Perhaps guys who can read a room in a foreign language, build rapport with village elders 1 hour, and conduct a raid the next. Guys who feel things deeply and leverage that depth to connect, to lead, to accomplish missions that require balance and discretion. Certainly more than just pulling triggers. That emotional reservoir can be a weapon that separates a technician from a strategic asset. But reservoirs need self-management, discipline, and a controlled outlet. Emotion plus discipline equals creativity, which equals controlled violence applied precisely and when necessary, which equals mission success. But emotion minus discipline? That's a flood, and floods destroy everything in their path. In 1978, Barry Sadler shot a man named Lee Emery Bellamy in a Nashville parking lot. The story varies depending on who tells it. An argument over a woman. A confrontation that escalated. Sadler claimed self-defense. The courts called it second-degree murder. Later reduced to voluntary manslaughter, he served less than 2 years. But what sticks out to me is this. Here's a guy who had the discipline to complete special forces training, survive Vietnam, and channel whatever was inside him into a number one record. Yet he pulled a trigger over some jackass harassing his girl in a parking lot. The fire was still there. The hearth was gone. After Nashville, Sadler drifted. He moved to Guatemala in the early 80s, reportedly training Contra guerrillas. He ran with mercenaries, drank heavily, brawled often. He wrote pulp novels about a character called Casca, an immortal Roman soldier cursed to wander the earth, fighting in every war until the second coming. I can't help but note the irony. A man who couldn't stop fighting, writing about a man who couldn't stop fighting. The art is telling. In 1988, Sadler was found in a cab in Guatemala City with a bullet in his head. The official story was that it was a robbery gone wrong. Others whispered it was self-inflicted. Some said it was connected to a woman, please not again. But no one really knows. He survived, technically, but the brain damage was catastrophic. They flew him back to the States, where he lingered for over a year before dying in 1989. He was only 49. The song outlived him, as is the beauty of sharing art. It still plays at military funerals. It still brings grown men to tears. It still captures something true about sacrifice and service that transcends politics and time. The man who wrote it? He's a cautionary tale whispered into the liner notes. We should all remember Sadler when considering what separates the guys who land the plane from the ones who crash. It's not an absence of intensity or numbing yourself into a functional robot. The best operators I've known, the best musicians too, both accomplished their missions and felt. That depth made them exceptional, self-regulating even. The difference is the hearth. Fire, without that containment, doesn't care whether it's warming your family or consuming your house. The world needs warrior poets. It always has. The men who can fight and feel, who can destroy and create, move history. Barry Sadler moved history. For 5 weeks in 1966, he was the voice of American sacrifice. Then he burned it all down.